Welcome to my ministry mission, where faith's transformative power comes to life. Sit back and relax as we dive into God's Word together, finding hope, guidance, and inspiration for our lives. Be sure to check out today's show notes for extra resources, updates, and ways to connect with our growing community. Or head on over to myministrymission.com to get more information, contact me, become a guest, and so much more. God has placed a calling of ministry in my heart, and I'm answering that call, sharing my journey of faith, tackling tough questions, and encouraging you to live boldly for Christ. So I hope you're ready to ignite your spiritual flames. My name is Jason, and this is my mission. Thank you for listening and welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Jason McConnell. Today, I'm thrilled to welcome back a familiar voice to the show, a man whose wisdom, creativity, and deep spiritual insight continue to inspire believers all around the world. My guest for this episode is Byron Easterling, an author, minister, and storyteller whose 40-some years of global ministry have been guided by one simple yet profound truth: follow the Holy Spirit. His work has touched countless lives, whether through speaking engagements, philanthropic work, or the thoughtful reflections he shares on his online community at byroneasterling.com, where he blends insights with heartfelt encouragement for believers navigating today's world. Be sure to check out this episode's show notes for links to all of his stuff. If you want to hear his previous appearance, look up episode 111, Content and Culture with Byron Easterling, where we dove into how faith influences creativity and calling. But this time, he's bringing not one, but two powerful new books to the table. I'm sure we've got a lot of catching up to do, a lot of unpacking to do in this conversation from faith, legacy, spiritual awakening, and the God who moves in our lives today. So settle in, grab a cup of Joe, or tea if you prefer, and join me in welcoming back to the My Ministry Mission podcast, Byron Easterling. So welcome back, Byron.
Hi, Jason.
So happy to have you back today.
Thanks, man. It's great to be here. Great to be back. Thanks for having me on the show. Always just love what you're doing.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I know we were just talking about the weather a second ago, but it's fall. The weather's changing. And I'm just sitting here wondering, what the heck happened to this year? Like, where did it go?
It's gone. It's gone. Yeah.
So, sounds like you've been busy since our last conversation. Just curious, high level, how's God blessed you recently?
Oh, wow. I tell you, it's, this year has been such an amazing year because, it's the first year in 40 years that I got off the road. I didn't travel.
Wow.
Yeah. My life has been over 40, well, now 46 years in the ministry, and 40 of those traveled extensively. I have over 3 million air miles. I planes, wow. planes, trains, and automobiles, who knows how many miles. But I have been wanting to get off the road, and I kept hearing the Lord say to me that it was time to make an impact. And he said, I can't do what I want to do if you're constantly traveling. And I was like, you want me to increase, but you want me to stop traveling? It didn't make sense in my little brain. So I had to put some faith behind it. And yeah, this for sure. year has been such an incredible year of change, of transition, of really just looking at life from a completely different perspective. And so that's a huge question, Jason. I don't even know where to start without taking up the entire show. So I won't right. do that. The episode would be all about that. And although
Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God.
Absolutely. And that has been a big part of the trust factor this year, making changes. For sure. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I have to admit, this year has been filled with a lot of blessings, many challenges. God has saw fit to carry me through some rough patches. You know, I don't know how much you've followed, but you know, my sister passed away in June.
I did.
From cancer. Yeah. But there's been good stuff too. You know, my daughter and I have been cast in a local production of The Nutcracker as a play. Oh. It's not a ballet, it's a play. Nobody wants to see me pair away, but we're just a couple weeks away from opening night. And in fact, we had rehearsal later today. So there's good stuff.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Oh, I love that. I'm so sorry to hear about your sister. I did follow that, and I am sorry to hear that's, did she have a lot of pain? Did she struggle that way? Was it quick? I think
it was pretty quick when it was time to go. It happened very quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, she had some pain leading up to that. Sure. I guess you can't get through cancer without some pain, but, yeah. But to be fair, and you know, putting this out there for the world, but my prayer was, you know, Lord, if you're not going to fix her, take her quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, yeah. He answered my prayer.
So I'm sorry. Sorry to hear. But,
Yes. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. So in our last conversation, I had asked you about Christianity in America and whether or not it was dying, and you had a great answer for that. And I'll let the listeners go back and play that episode. But I read an article recently that Barna Group and Glue found there's been a resurgence of the church attendance, and Gen Z is actually leading the older generations in church attendance.
Yes.
And it made me wondering, as I was reflecting on our last conversation, if that may be part of this new era we discussed. And I was just curious what your thoughts are. Before we jump into anything else, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's an out of left field question.
No, it's a great question. It's one I've had time to discuss with others about. In fact, we just had a fall gathering. This is our third year to have a fall gathering here in our hometown, where I invite some different voices together, small group, to connect and talk about issues like that. And I believe after COVID, we came out of that season, people made a decision to be de-churched. Many, by the millions, made a decision to be de-churched, not ungodly. I think that's the key. And I feel what happened within that is a generation wanted and desires to see a genuine heartbeat of God. And when they find that, and what I'm seeing is a dividing line in the body of Christ when it comes to church going to mm-hmm. the gathering, is those who are pulling away from the program-based and just being honest and truthful with their relationship with God, presenting the Spirit of God, allowing the Spirit of God to move, not being tied into a religious structure of that. Mm-hmm. I think that's the hunger of all of us. I just think that Gen Z has picked up on it, and they want to see that genuineness, and they're hungry for that genuineness. I think we all are hungry for that genuineness. I think that's what Absolutely. The de-churched, what Barna talked about, the de-churched, is that that's why they left. They weren't feeling connecting with the genuineness of God in their surroundings. And that has to change. And I believe it is. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a great answer. Yeah. I, you know, and I see a lot of conversations, a lot of debate where people are, I'm religious. I'm not religious. I'm spiritual. I'm not religious. I have a relationship with Christ. And I think, I think the pattern has been people either lean too heavily into church or lean too heavily away from church. And we're forgetting that there's a balance there. There is a personal relationship that we have with the Lord. And then there is a communal relationship that we have to have. And I'm kind of coming to see a lot of this as I'm reading through the book of Acts. I'm doing Acts of the Apostles series, and the early church was really together. I mean, they ate together, and there, it wasn't just let's have a meal. It was worship. Everything was about worship and about how to spread the word. And I think that genuineness has definitely been diluted over the centuries. And maybe that's what people are hungering for. And maybe that's why cults get such, such popularity, is because they offer a faux fake, communal sense.
Right.
And people buy into it because they're hungry for it, as you said. So just some random thoughts that just popped into my head there.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, for me, the idea of you can't have a relationship on a Sunday morning during a service. You can't, you can begin a relationship. You can start, but you can't have a relationship during a Sunday morning service. That is a gathering to glorify God and whatever your purposes are for that, to grow in God, to learn about God, to glorify God through worship, to be together in a unit. But I've seen it over and over, and we've been following this and doing it ourselves for a number of years, which is around the table. And that's where life often happens, around the table in some form or fashion. And that's what you're talking about, because it's real. You actually connect with people at a far different level, and you can connect at that level. Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. Absolutely. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
So I was curious as I was thinking about it. You've got two new books, and we'll definitely get to those. Love hearing about what God is doing in your work, your travel being suspended, and you're not sure how to make it work. We all know that's what God does. He's like, you do this and I'll make it work. Right. But as you're looking back over your journey, is there any one defining moment that has shaped or deepened your trust in God's voice more than anything else?
One defining moment. Wow.
I know. Right?
It's hard to put one defining moment.
And maybe there isn't one. Maybe it's accumulation of moments. But I was just curious if there was a turning point that you remember.
Yes. There. Okay. I have to go way back. But, and it wasn't when I came to Christ. It was when I had walked away from him. Mm-hmm. And I was in my, what I call the stupid 20s. which most of us have experienced, or you don't have to, but many of us have.
Oh, my 20s were definitely stupid.
Yeah. So, I in my early 20s, during my college years, I was a partaker and a promoter, salesman of street pharmacist, and. So I had walked.
Great pharmacist.
Yeah. I was pretty far away from the Lord.
It's fair.
And I was in music school. It's, I made a lot of money. You know, I had a clientele. I knew how to sell. I knew what to sell, and I had a product. And I was in music school, and it was the end of music school. And I, we had partied. The whole day, because what you do, and I don't know if you know music school, but you have these things called juries. And juries are whatever instrument you've played, you sit around in a small little room with about four or five instructors, and they just tear you apart. And okay. So you're playing, I'm playing piano because that's my instrument. I'm playing, you know, and they're just sitting around behind you, and all you hear is scratching of notes, and you just know, I'm going to fail. That's what it feels like. And so after it's all done, you know, we were headed out, and we all partied. And I had my old, it was a 1965 Ford Econoline van. And
nice.
Yeah. And I had a bag of vegetation on the seat next to me. I had just partaken of that vegetation, and I hear the sounds of sirens, and I get pulled over. Didn't have the sense to toss the bag in the back. I had just partaken, so the smoke was in. I literally rolled down my window, and it's billowing out into this officer's face.
You had it like a Cheech and Chong moment.
It was definitely a Cheech and Chong moment. And I just said, oh, I'm going. I know I'm going. This is it, man. I'm not going to do well in prison. And right. And he says, Mr. Easterling. I said, yes, sir. He says, you know your license plates are due tomorrow. And where I was from in Missouri at that time, you actually had to go back to your county. You couldn't send it in at that point. For some reason, I had to go back to the county where I, and so I had to go home. And he said, you know your plates are due. And I said, yes, sir, I'm going home tomorrow. I had that planned. And he says, that's a good idea. You know, another good idea, he said, I think you should go home now and stay there until you leave tomorrow. Have a good day.
Wow.
I rolled up that window, and as he passed me by and went down his way, nothing happened at that moment. I go home. Next day, I go out. I'm in my car. I'm driving my little Ford Econoline on the back roads of Missouri, going home to my hometown. I can take you to the corner. I can take you to the spot in the road today. I can pull off that spot, and I can fall into tears because I heard the voice of God say, when will you stop messing around with me?
Wow.
And I just lost it. It was shocking. It changed my life. It changed my life. And from that moment on, everything. I actually, within months, I became a youth pastor at a church there in St. Louis, Missouri. And I'm not sure that was a good idea, but on their part.
Those callback moments, I tell you, God will get you.
Yeah. It was, was a transitional moment where I had to make a decision. That was a faith moment that had to make a decision. When will I stop messing around with him? And that was it. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, that was a great story. And speaking of stories, I'm going to go ahead and jump into Out of the Shadows, a spiritual allegory.
It's, yeah, yeah.
You know, we'll just jump into your books from there. Sure. I don't know how I can ask any questions that would beat that. So. So in that book, I haven't had a chance to read through much of them, but you described kind of a vision born in prayer that reflects God's movement in our world today. Mm-hmm. Would you mind sharing more about that revelation and how it became a story?
Yeah.
I'm giving you the tough ones today.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'm just trying to put my words together so I don't waste your listeners' times.
No worries.
It stems from this, what I believe is part of the new era, and what we've talked about in the past. You know, Jason, has one of the keys for me is the 100-year prophecy that William Seymour received in 1913, that there would be the greatest move of God the earth has experienced or seen to date. I'm not saying he didn't say this either. He's not saying it's the last days. He's just saying the greatest move that the earth will have seen at that point. And, you know, the 60s and early 70s saw a lot of people with the Jesus movement come to Christ. Mm-hmm. But I believe this is far bigger than that. And I believe we've entered it. And so this became, the new era to me is a lot about, I've always said, if anybody remembers anything I've said ever, it's that I believe that the Father is never satisfied with the size of his family. He always wants more. He's always hungry and looking, and he's out. He's the one out seeking. He's out. Yeah. He's the one there drawing us in. And so out from the shadows came basically from that concept. And I thought, you know, I could write it as a prophecy. I could say, this is the information of what I believe is happening in this moment, because I do believe we've entered into this great season that God has, where men like Dr. Bright, Lauren Cunningham, so many have talked about 1 billion people coming into the kingdom. And so that's a piece of that, a billion people coming in into the kingdom, meeting, what I say is meeting, encountering, and responding to Jesus Christ. Yay. So,
yeah, amen.
So this book, it's a little bitty short story. I mean, it's 29 pages long. And it's the beginning, though, of five books, other books.
Okay.
They're short stories. They're all allegories. And they're about this guy named Sam, who is a prophetic guy. And I chose that name because that's my son-in-law's name. And I love it. So I wanted to use his
there
name.
You go.
It's a story actually has historical reference of the promises of the promises of God for our nation. And that's what Out from the Shadows is all about. It's basically an allegory about this man, Sam, young man, and his angelic counterpart, and how they work together and discover, in a sense, that God is moving on the earth in our nation, and that there's promises that have not been fulfilled. And that's what this little short story is about. It's about those promises yet to be fulfilled. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And as I understand, there's three characters in there that are deeply symbolic. The voice, wisdom, and warrior, right?
The warrior is the angel. Okay. The voice is Christ. And there's also then, of course, wisdom. Wisdom is the spirit. And then you have the nemesis, who is the enemy, who has the court of hatred. So there's a variety of different aspects of, an allegorical. In fact, in the second book, I'm in the short story called Into the Heavens. It's I give a background on all of those different characters. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
That'll be fun.
I should probably put those and update the book. I should do that. Thank you, Jason.
You should definitely do that.
I should do that on this one, too. I should update everybody on that. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then those characters basically represent aspects of God's presence and his work in our lives, as you said. But you mentioned Nemesis, too. So it sounds like the whole thing is very much intertwined with your faith. And as you said, it's kind of predicated off of prophecy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... I kind of want to go read it now.
So, it's a quick read, I guarantee you.
Yeah, hang on, I'll be right back.
Yeah.
So, and I think you mentioned that the story, and no, you did mention that the story ties to a prophetic awakening, that God moves even now. Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit about that. Are there any specific signs that you see of that awakening? I mean, we talked about Gen Z and that movement and going back to church. You know, the D church going back, you know, anything else is jumping out in our modern times that maybe points back to this awakening for you?
Yeah. For me, it's not as strong in the Western culture at this moment, although it is growing. We do see some in college campuses. We're seeing some, obviously, like you said, with Gen Z, we're seeing some of that kind of 18 to 25. Stepping back into the church, we see, in a sense, kind of revivals. Now, I will make a side note about that. Revivals, to me, are different than a true move of God in the sense of bringing people into the kingdom and experiencing the kingdom for the first time. Because to be revived, you must first to have been vived. You can't.
Yeah, revival. That makes sense.
Yeah. So for me, revival is for the body of Christ. It's a moment in time that wakens. Now, that's just my perspective, but that's how I see it. I see revival as awakening the body of Christ, and we need to be awake so that because God is moving on the earth, and where this is happening hugely, Jason, is in the Middle East. I have a pastor friend who's at a church in London, South London, and he is a portion of his congregation are refugees from the Middle East who've had to flee And many of these have come to Christ because of dreams, visions, understandings, insights, revelations. They're meeting Christ. Now, if you know Islam, if you know Muslim, history, then they believe in Jesus 100%. They would not say they don't believe in Jesus. It's a part of the Quran. It's he is a teacher. He is a good, he's a prophet teacher. He was born of a virgin, that they believe that he was born of a virgin, and they believe he ascended. The part that they don't include is that he died on a cross and then ascended. So he ascended while living.
Okay.
So he didn't pay for anything.
Got it.
And that's why he's not divine in their beliefs. So, but I think what's happening is God is interjecting. Of course he is. And I think the numbers are in the low millions right now of Muslims coming to Christ.
Wow.
But you don't hear about it. Who's going to say that?
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, parts of the Middle East, parts of Africa, it's very, very dangerous to be openly Christian.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's you know, you're looking at, again, I'm in the book of Acts, so I've got a frame of reference there, but, you know, early church in Jerusalem, it was very, very dangerous at one point. In fact, the reason why it spread was because they were chased off.
Yeah.
So they fled, and then, you know, we've got Judea, Samaria, Antioch, you know, these places, it's spreading like wildfire at that point. But, you know, people aren't going to raise their hand and say, yep, nope, I'm totally Christian. Look at me. You know, you could die.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Nigeria is seeing that. I think it's Nigeria, isn't it, that are just seeing.
I think Nigeria is one of them.
Huge amount of martyrdom, true martyrdom.
Yep.
People losing their lives for the sake of Christ, given an option to, you know, refute him and not.
Yeah. Yeah. I jotted down this biblical reference in reference to this part of the conversation. It's Isaiah 60, chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you.
Wow.
It's like, are we there? Are we there yet?
Right. And I think you're seeing the hunger when people to me who they talk about people going after other religions, people going after cults, people going after the New Age, any of that, I'm like, hey, that's hunger. That's showing hunger. Now we just have to insert the understanding of who Christ is so that people get a true revelation of Jesus. And for me, that's so when somebody says, I grew up in the New Age or whatever, and I love the New Age and I love these things, or, you know, I'm going after this religion. And I'm like, awesome. Keep going after it, because somebody's going to come along in your life and they're going to tweak you because of your hunger, and Christ is going to enter in. If you're truly after spiritual hunger, if you're truly after the truth, God will show himself. He will provide a way, and and we're there. We're already seeing it. It's just in the Western culture. We've gotten a little confused.
I think I get what you're saying. I mean, I think in terms of evangelism, I think a lot of times people get confused with their purpose. My job isn't to convert anyone. Good. My job is to share my witness, my gospel, you know, the truth.
Yeah.
And let God do the rest. And people get frustrated when somebody doesn't agree with them. But the person you're talking to, you may be having a debate with somebody, and you're having, this feeling that you're not making any traction. Well, sometimes that debate is not for the person you're talking to, but maybe the person who's listening from the corner.
Yeah.
And you're planting seeds everywhere you go, and you don't even know it.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're out there sharing the gospel and you feel frustrated, I think it's important to remember that your job isn't to convert. Your job is just to spread your witness and the good news.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all you got to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And And we do it different ways. There's a million different ways to do it. There's not just one way. And that's why listening to the Spirit of God, I believe, is so important as we step into this move of God that we've stepped into. We've already entered it. I think that's a part of the language that needs to change. We keep saying, when it comes, when it comes. I believe it's already here. It's just, it doesn't look grandiose at this point. We're not seeing in America tens of millions come to Christ. We're seeing handfuls come to Christ. Well, not many have been seeing that over the last 30 or 40 years.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, you know, things are moving and shifting and it's happening. And this is not just about America. This is about the world. God is not just only interested in America. And we kind of sometimes get lost in our little world here.
And that is true.
It's important. You know, we've been very blessed to travel all over the world as a part of those 3 million air miles. And and in doing that, you know, we gain so much understanding and insight into different cultures and how they work. We need them. They need us. And God is moving in our world. And right now, He's moving in the Muslim culture. And I want it to move here. I'm ready for it to move here. And it is slowly, you know.
We'll get there.
We are there. We're getting there. It's growing. And we're on our way. So just, I think it's looking out for it and realizing that instead of it being, let's get a booklet and learn how to share our faith, there's nothing wrong with that, okay? There's nothing wrong with knowing how to share our faith, to how to express our life to someone. But in that moment, be salt and light. And salt and light requires the Spirit of God in our lives. So if we're walking moment by moment with the Spirit of God, then we're able to be in a conversation and say quietly into ourselves, Holy Spirit, what do you have for this moment? And then listen to the response, because that's the joy of the Holy Spirit, is that He's always, the Spirit of God is in us, moving, ready to speak in that moment, in the season that we're in. When it says the season, it's in that moment. And I love that about the Spirit of God. And so that's what I mean when I say doing all things from the Spirit of God. It's just walking moment by moment with Him, not leaving Him out and going, yeah, I've got the booklet, I'll take the booklet. And it's like the Spirit of God is going, yeah, but why don't you ask him about this or that? And that opens the door to a conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry.
All right.
I get kind of...
No, it's exciting. Definitely exciting. So I do want to make sure we touch on your other book,
okay.
Curious Tales of a Common Man, a Legacy Journal. Uh-huh. This one kind of fascinated me because it captures moments of divine encounters in ordinary life. You know, I think from a coffee shop to a prison cell. And I'm curious, what inspired you to collect and share these stories right now?
People badgering me. My daughter,
fair enough.
My daughter, my son-in-law, people I mentor in the faith and in their giftings and callings. Have been asking me, they said, it's not enough. We know your stories. We want you to write them down. And I was, for a few years, I've been like, yeah, whatever. So finally, I just felt that unction of God to go, okay. So what I did, I wrote a list of stories. I think I have 60 stories that have maybe a possible impact, that could make someone go, oh, that's cool. I'd like to know more about that. Right now, I know I'm doing 3 books. We're working on the second. The first one has, the first two have 12 stories each. I don't know if I'll go past 3. I might. You just never know. So that's what really people just influenced me to say, you need to write your stories down. And so that's where Curious Tales of a Common Man came from.
Love
that.
Yeah. And you, I think you wrote in the synopsis that leadership isn't about being a superhero, it's about being human.
Mm.
And I'm curious, you know, how Jesus has redefined leadership for you through humility and relationship.
Wow.
As you've gone through your ministry.
Wow. Yeah. you're asking some great questions. leadership was defined for my life, excuse me, as a top-down mentality. It was type A. I have a vision.
Oh, yeah.
I have a vision. You get on board with my vision. In 1995 or six, I was with a group called Integrity Music. And they were kind of the big wig worship arena at that point. And I was doing their conferences. I was playing and speaking at their conferences. And a man came up to me after one of the sessions and said, what are you doing for lunch? And I said, there was this long line of people wanted to ask me questions. And I pointed at the line. So he turns to the line and he goes, Byron has a previous engagement. He'll be back at one.
The guy, okay.
The guy grabs me, obviously a type A leader, grabs me, and he begins to ask me questions about, and at first he dumps on me for about 40 minutes, just unloads. And I'm like, what am I doing here? Lunch better be free. That's all I can say.
Right.
and then it was all of a sudden it turned and the Lord started speaking to me. And that opened a door to begin what I realized was advising leaders. And from this, God began to show me the Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 model of leadership, which was a servant role leadership, that I can have my own vision and people can get on board with that. Nothing wrong with that. But if I'm truly leading people, I'm helping them fulfill all that God has for them to fulfill. And in the process, I will have all that I need fulfilled. And that's when things changed in the leadership aspect for me. And those Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 is about those five gifts that it says they were gifts. In fact,
sure,
you know, it doesn't say office, it doesn't say position. It simply says gift. And you look up the Greek, and the word gift in that is, that's all it means. It's a gift. It's a gift to the body of Christ. And I love the Passion Translation in this one. It says, to nurture and prepare the holy believer to fulfill, la, 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 to go on and fulfill all they have. And I think that, for me, is the role of a good leader, is to help people fulfill and go after all they have. And now, it doesn't mean that there aren't leaders who lead ministries, businesses, government, whatever. But even in that, I think a good leader needs to be looking at his people, going, those they lead, and say, how do I help them prosper? How do I get them to their next place? And it's not afraid of losing people. It's afraid of them not growing. It's afraid of them not taking and walking and stepping into the fullness of who they are. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, when I thought about this one, Mark, was it Mark 10, 43, something? Whoever wants to be greatest among you must be my servant, or must be your servant. That speaks to leadership to me. And I've been put in management positions in companies, and I found that my most effective approach has been, I am their sword and their shield. You know, these are my people. I protect them. I defend them, and I fight for them. And if they screw up, I get to take it out on them.
Nobody else.
And I have a funny story. I had a company that it was a wonderful guy to work for. But he came in and he was the owner of the company, read the riot act to my engineers, my team. And as he walked out, I walked out after him and I'm like, hey, and he looked at me, I said, you have two choices. You either never yell at my team again or you fire me right now.
Wow.
And he was like, what? I said, that's my team. You should be yelling at me and let me handle them. If you're not willing to do that, there's no place for me here.
This is,
you know, basically I, you know, you either follow the chain of command in your own company or get rid of it.
Yeah.
He was like, okay.
So, I can do that.
I'm like, yep. I was yelling at the owner. That's a great idea. What? But I mean, that's what I think a position of a leader is. You know, there's a difference between just being a guy who manages people and being the leader.
Yes. Big time.
And I think that's true in ministry. I think that's true in family. I think that's true everywhere. You know, if you're going to be a leader, you have to serve and protect and defend and fight for and whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I like that. I like your answer, the lines. It seems like both of your books kind of share a thread that God is moving in unexpected places.
Mm.
And for those listeners out there, and I know I've been in this, I felt this way as myself, but you feel unseen or unqualified. What encouragement would you offer about how God still writes powerful stories through common people?
Oh, yeah. You know, that's, that's why I called it common, you know, Curious Tales of a Common Man. I don't think many of us feel like we're special in some weird way. I think we feel that God has made us for a purpose on the earth. Mm-hmm. And I think it's being willing to find a place that we best fit in God's plan. Because when we step into that, I don't know if this is answering your question or not, but if we're willing to step into the place that He has for us and not pushing and shoving and jostling the army, as it were, you know, then we're able to, it almost takes all the pressure off. And we find results, we find the heartbeat of God within that moment, and we're able to relax, we're actually able to enjoy it. And it's there's no pressure behind it. There can be busy days, there can be frustrating days, there can be people in, you know,
peopling.
the peopling of life is true. But in the quietness of our spirit, we go, this is good. I belong here. I know I'm finding that. I believe is one of the key principles of walking in the spirit. Going back to walking in the spirit, it's one of the key principles of why am I walking in the spirit? Well, I'm walking in the spirit, so I know where I belong. I know where He wants me to be, and I can rest in that comfortably. If that makes sense at all.
It does. It kind of made me think in alignment with, you know, because I hear people who are like, I don't know why people talk to me. I don't know why they trust me. I don't know why they follow me.
Yeah,
I don't know why they listen to me.
That's good.
Well, maybe because you're aligned to God's purpose.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe that's why it's just working because you're doing what He said.
And the key is, I think what happens is we get caught in the trap of wanting to be something out here that we weren't intended to be. And so therefore we push ourselves to try and be something. And that, now, unfortunately in America, that's sort of that's what I would call a lack of contentment. Paul's pretty straight ahead about, you know, be content in all things. And you know, I think we need to learn to be content in every moment that we walk in. When you're content, then you're fulfilling the things God has for you. And there is a peace, that peace that passes, you know, our understanding. That is what, that's what happens when we're stepping in and we're just walking in that place of contentment. In America, what happens is, and I don't mean to bash America, that's not what I'm saying, but we always have areas to grow in. And America is not a content country. Our model is, if you aren't like where you are, then just work harder. Or if you aren't where you are, then go make it happen. Go make it force this way. So in the body of Christ, what happens is people take that on as, oh, I have to do that. I have to change what's happening. Well, I don't know that that's what Paul meant by being content. And I would love to have a discussion on that sometime. Because contentment to me says, I'm walking with God in this moment, and God is helping me understand where I belong, what I'm supposed to be doing, and in that, the peace of God rules. And I don't know anybody as a believer or anybody in this world who truly doesn't want peace in their life.
Yeah, this is funny. I had this scripture jotted down, 1 Corinthians 1, starting at verse 26. I'm just going to read through this because it kind of makes me laugh a little bit, but it's, brothers and sisters, think of what you were before you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the low things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. And I thought, if that doesn't just like scream, you know, purpose, you know, the purpose isn't, obviously isn't the accolades. It's doing God's work and being content in what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I wrote that down. I kind of chuckled as I found it. I'm like, this is going to be great. Like, I love this verse. This is one of my new favorites.
That's awesome.
What do you do with that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we walk in peace.
We walk in peace.
Yeah. And peace comes in contentment.
But this has been amazing. Seems like a good place to start wrapping things up.
Yeah.
Went a little bit longer than I thought, but I don't even care. Like, this could be a 2-hour conversation and I'd be happy with it.
Oh,
outside of that, do you have any last words for the listeners?
Gosh, I'm just so looking forward. I love the body of Christ, and I'm so looking forward to what God is doing in our world today. Please, if you hear anything, He is for us. He is for us as a people. He is moving in our world, and all the things around us, the enemy just uses to block our minds, to cause frustration. Find that content place. Walk in peace with God and just enter His presence and be with Him. And and Jason, thanks for having me back. I so appreciate this opportunity.
Oh, I appreciate it. And I hope to have you back more. What an incredible conversation. I'm so grateful that God has blessed my podcast with such amazing guests. A special thank you to Byron for coming back to speak with me. I'm always amazed at how his writings always point us to the heart of God. A great reminder that faith isn't meant to stay hidden in the shadows. It's meant to shine in every moment of our lives, so even the ordinary ones. And I hope today's conversation has inspired you. Be sure to visit Byron's website again. That's byroneasterling.com. You will find the link in the show notes, as well as links to his new books on Amazon. Be sure to check that out. So I also wanted to let you know that Byron has made a very, very special offer. If you head to his author page on December 27th, and I'll put the link in the show notes, you will find Out from the Shadows and Possibly Curious Tales of a Common Man will be available for download in Amazon Kindle format for free for that one day. So, such an amazing offer just for the listeners of this podcast. Be sure to bookmark his page. Again, it's in the show notes. And again, that amazing offer is for December 27th only. So, thank you again, Byron, and God bless.
Yeah. Thanks, Jason. Back at you.
As for the rest of you listeners, until next time, keep loving your neighbors, dive into God's word daily, and may the Lord bless you and keep you and fill you with his peace. Take care, God bless, and I'll see you in the next episode. You've just finished listening to the My Ministry Mission podcast, where faith's transformative power comes to life. Please be sure to like and subscribe this podcast on your favorite app so you never miss an episode. Also, be sure to check out today's show notes for great links and information you may have missed. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you next time.